Welcome back to another month of the PigX podcast. I'm your host, Delaney Howell. In today's episode, we're going to be exploring some of the latest research related to swine market hauling equipment and take a broader look at the current state of transportation within the swine space and its impact on swine health. Additionally, we're going to hear from two companies about their efforts in this area, the practices they've implemented to improve, and the financial considerations involved. First, let's introduce our guests, followed by a discussion on the state of this issue.
So I'm Edison Magalhães. I'm an assistant professor at the Department of Animal Science at Iowa State University, and also the chair of the Live Haul Sanitation Working Group as part of the U.S. SHIP, the U.S. Swine Health Improvement Plan.
I'm Pete Thomas. I'm the Director of Health Services for Iowa Select Farms. I oversee our veterinary team at Iowa Select Farms. I've been with Iowa Select for 9 years. Before that, I spent time both in private practice in Minnesota and also with Smithfield Foods prior to the time of joining Iowa Select Farms.
Tyler Baumer, a herd vet with the Mass Shops. Been with the company for about 9 years. Focused primarily on finishing pigs in Iowa and then reside in Eldora, Iowa.
First, let's hear more from Dr. Edison Magalhães. He recently presented at the Iowa Pork Congress, North America's largest winter swine trade show, about his efforts working towards swine health in connection to market hall sanitation. For the past 2 years, Edison has been trying to understand where the industry is currently at across the United States and what are future opportunities to improve this within the swine industry. Let's hear more about his findings.
What we see in terms of sanitation of trucks in the swine industry, market haul, of course, is our low-hanging fruit. So people are doing a good job on the other areas, but market haul is an opportunity where we would have systems that are not washing run-out loads, or even the top loads, they are not washing market trailers or even wash every 3 or 4 loads. And most of the times they are not doing that because of many different hurdles in terms of people or truck wash capacity or water availability. So we visit a couple of systems across the United States that are actually washing all market trailers of every load as part of their routine. And there's some variation on how people are doing. But one common way to wash compared to their gold standard wash that would involve power wash, disinfect, and bake trailers, which is common for sow farm trailers. But this other method, which is just the high volume wash and disinfect, or volume hose and disinfect, which doesn't include a power wash, it's pretty common in the industry. And people are doing that at the packing plant or at truck washes close to the packing plant for every load. And as part of that, we also visit Denmark, and we saw that that's part of their routine as well. At the packing plant, they would wash every single trailer in Denmark. So it's a good country in terms of biosecurity, and what they are doing internally is similar to some systems are doing here, this high volume wash at the packing plant. And that seems to be effective as you are washing every load, so you're not letting manure or feces to grow over time on those trailers if you just wash every 3 or 4 loads. So on top of that, we did an experimental study with a small size trailers, and we implemented different types of washes. One involved a scrape and bake wash, which doesn't include water. It's just a dry wash, let's say like that. And both of the other one was a volume hose, or the high volume wash and disinfect, and the power wash and disinfect. And all of them, they were effective in terms of reducing virus, but the scrape and bake, the dry wash, was not effective for inactivating virus. So even though we had a good reduction, but the virus was not inactivated, so we would need a better wash on that. But the high volume wash, which is what we've just mentioned that Danish folks are doing and some industries here in the U.S. are doing at the packing plant, reduced a lot of more than 99% reduction in viral load, but also was affected on producing negative pigs through bioassay, so inactivating the virus with that procedure. So that's current, kind of what's the current snapshot scenario of the U.S. industry. So we would have systems that are not doing or washing every 3 or 4 loads, but we have good examples of people washing, and seems like this high volume wash, it's been an effective approach in terms of towards market pigs, as we the cost of doing that is should be a little bit lower than compared to sow farm trailers, for example.
Now shifting our focus to swine health from the perspective of two different companies, the Mashoffs and Iowa Select. Dr. Tyler Bauman, who works with the Mashoffs, shares his insight on market hall sanitation, including the changes they have implemented and the results he's observed.
So at the Mashoffs, certainly identified that market hall was a big risk and significant source of PED and Delta Corona, so the coronaviruses in general. With that impact, you know, impacting feed conversion, daily gain, but also rebreak rate on wean pigs that are coming behind us on a mortality front. So I identified that as a significant issue. So that, I think that was the first thing, is identifying it. And then we had to understand what that prevalence was. So our first action was just start testing non-clinical signs, had to get some buy-in from field team and, you know, not just saying, I know what it is, I can smell it, actually getting confirmation diagnosis. And from that, it allowed us to kind of build a plan together. So first thing easy to do was just, let's just start looking at clean market trucks. And so discussions with our team that oversees that, do we have capacity? What's the cost going to be? That analysis. And I think what, you know, Pete showed information from his system that, you know, the return is really quick. And it's noticeable in farms. You get quick buy-in from contract growers, in our case, that they see we're willing to make that investment. And that kind of helps them get a little more buy-in. So the other strategy we put in place was the cleanup procedure, which pretty standard, is going to be whitewash. And at, you know, 20 to 25 cents a pig space, we put that responsibility in the contract growers' hands. For them to have that buy-in to own biosecurity so that they didn't have to pay that really unnecessary cost if they can keep it out. And so from that standpoint, we got the buy-in from them. And so with those strategies, we've been really successful. And then various cleanup procedures that are pretty universal now, but for the most part, it was the people piece and seeing the investment, getting the willingness to step up.
Dr. Pete Thomas also shares what this looks like from his perspective at Iowa Select Farms.
We started, you know, I'd say looking at it pretty hard back in 2018. For the majority of my career working in commercial pig production, we've had problems with coronavirus breaks during marketing, whether that's TGE back, you know, before the PED outbreaks in 23 and 2014. We saw a lot of TGE circulating in market pigs in Iowa and in other parts of the U.S. And then, you know, more recently, PED and Delta coronavirus. And so we started looking at, you know, probably from two perspectives. Number one, what's the cost of that in our market hogs? And so we had developed a model where we looked at what it costs us in terms of particularly rebreak rates and wean pigs and how that impacted us. But the majority of the cost of it was in lost pounds and additional days to market in those market hogs that broke. Even though the mortality may be negligible to almost zero, it costs us a lot in terms of pounds to market. And so when you start putting those numbers together, that was the first thing. And then the second thing was working with our growers and in wean to finish and really trying to improve our biosecurity and reduce all disease outbreaks. We really struggled with getting buy-in from those guys when they see you bring a dirty market truck and their groups of pigs breaking with PED at the time of marketing. And so those two things were probably our two biggest reasons why we went down the path of starting to wash and disinfect all of our market trucks. And with that, we saw a really substantial reduction, I think 11x reduction in breaks during marketing. And then also we saw about a 10x reduction in our number of wean groups breaking with PED based on where we were about 5-6 years ago.
Dr. Thomas also highlights the financial aspects of determining the payback value of equipment washing.
The cost of washing those market trucks, if we go kind of all in on it and look at, you know, number one, there's the cost of the additional washes that you incur, but then also some additional costs in terms of mileage that you might pay drivers to get to a truck wash, and then also some downtime that you're paying them while they're sitting waiting for their trucks to be washed. So all those things add to the total expense of washing those trucks. And when we've looked at it, if we look at it just strictly on what do we know it costs us when we break a group of market hogs, and then if you look at the mortality on those wean groups that break thereafter, you know, we're just only a little over 1-to-1 return on that investment. But when you start to get a little bit more, I would say, creative on what some of the other benefits are. So By reducing the number of breaks in our market hogs, we also reduce the number of lateral breaks that we have, you know, with caretakers taking care of multiple sites and breaking additional sets of hogs. And then also some of the performance that we estimate we lose on those wean pig breaks. So some of the pressure, the disease pressure that we put in place, just from a PED alone, and then that additional cost on those weans that we think we lose in performance, we're probably then getting closer to 2-to-1 return on investment. So it's all kind of, all kind of depends on how you put all the cost all in, and we probably never really can get to the bottom of all the true benefits, but we'll probably, depending on how we look at it, sit in between 1-to-1 to 2-to-1 return on that investment.
While both companies recognized some valuable ideas, they ultimately decided it was important to involve various stakeholders. Tyler and Pete explained why and how their companies moved together from the initial concept to full implementation.
In our case, it was just coordinating the various stakeholders and understanding, you know, we'd always heard, wow, truck capacity was an issue. And it, that kind of had come up that, you know, as an industry, and I think, you know, the information you shared today still shows that industry capacity is not where it needs to be, but can we focus in certain areas and maximize that? And that's what, once we started getting the right people on the call and in that discussion, it was pretty easy and quick to switch it on. But it just took the alignment of people understand what the end goal was, what we were trying to do, looking at the resources available. Once we identified for us that, hey, for the areas that we're trying to target, that, you know, it's doable, then we could do that right away.
I think for us, some of the discussions kind of started with probably a broader discussion of our window of finish mortality being higher than it should be. And when you think about some of the areas of focus, one of the key areas was biosecurity. And one thing that really, you know, highlighted some of our, I would say, you know, poor execution maybe of biosecurity in our system, you know, is a couple of years ago when we had APP outbreaks in Central Iowa, a number of producers did, but we know we were tracking that into some farms. And that plus the amount of lateral PERS breaks we were seeing. And so we start going down the path of discussing how do we improve our wean to finish health, and multifaceted, but when you talk about biosecurity and wean to finish, you know, like I said earlier, it kind of all starts and stops with how do you convince the people that are going in your barns to execute all the time. And part of that was showing your investment in biosecurity and that you're putting your money, you know, where your mouth is. And that was probably the biggest thing that we could do to really show people that we are committed. We expect them to be committed as well.
As both Tyler and Pete have shared, market hall sanitation in terms of washing your trucks is vital, but there are a few ways to tackle sanitation.
So we started out with, I think the classification, they call it like a bio wash, which is like power wash disinfectant. And for what that was costing us, it was adding about $4,500 in additional costs, just a wash cost for a 2,400 head site for the number of washes. And so as we wanted to scale up the program, it was looking at, can we find ways to reduce that cost, improve efficiencies at the truck washes themselves. And so we had the underlying question was, is like, if the site, or if the truck's contaminated, how can we just reduce that prevalence? And so the bio wash works, the high volume works really well as getting that organic matter off, because of the concern being that pigs going on, then coming back off, truckers on the truck, you know, going over a clean dirty line, how can we reduce what they have access to from a viral prevalence? And so we have found that high volume flush, you know, was bringing the same thing. There were some other integrators, other individuals out there that would just wash the back end of the compartment, you know, and I think they had success with that, my understanding, but they still had a higher prevalence of break rates. And what you think about is that trucker is going back into those back compartments loading pigs. And so although pigs aren't going on and coming off maybe and kicking wood shavings back, that trucker is still bringing it to the back of that truck and being a fish. So in our case, we've settled on high volume from a cost standpoint, efficiency standpoint, we've had really good success.
Yeah, we're pretty similar when we looked at trying to get this implemented. And we, you know, one of the things, we have our own truck wash. It's located in North Iowa Falls, which is really not close to any packing plants. So it's not very efficient for drivers to get back. We would do a full power wash there. But as we started looking for other washes outside of our own internal wash, number one, we wanted to have something close to the packing plants where it was efficient for the drivers. And then as we looked at trying to get the volume of trucks through the wash that we wanted to, really what made the most sense was to try the volume hose, the volume flush and disinfect. We knew other producers were doing it, and then look at that and analyze if we thought that was effective before moving to the next steps. And so that's what we went with, and we saw that very effective, similar to what Tyler said. And so that's what we've landed on is volume flush and disinfect for those market loads.
Keeping pigs happy and healthy is only a part of the equation. Another factor to consider are the health risks and biosecurity issues that arise when humans are involved, specifically loading and during the transportation of hogs.
Yeah, it's less of a concern. On market trucks specifically, the drivers are going to load their truck. If we're talking wean pigs, a lot of times sow farms will load their own. We have some different things going on. But on the market truck, third-party haulers, we do have some mash-off transport that does market trucks, but majority of our finishing is done by third-party. And so we're very specific with who we use. And so we have great partnerships with those that we are using, long histories. We have an aligned standard. And so for the most part, they're trying to do good. Your biggest risk is really just, inclement weather and things of that nature that just challenges the biosecurity process in general for anyone. But I think at the market point, it's a terminal end, and so if they do get infected for the pigs on the truck, it's going to be pretty short-lived in that standpoint. So, but for the most part, they're doing a pretty good job from what you've seen.
Yeah, we would require our truck drivers to stay on the truck and our load crews to load up to the back of the truck. And so that chute truck junction would be our clean dirty line. We don't always succeed in that. And we do have auditors that go out and do some auditing to make sure that we're doing that the right way. Or we're addressing those issues with the drivers or the crews. So I think overall, we still try to maintain, we consider that truck to be very much lower infectious than if we had it done the volume hose and disinfect. But in our situation, we don't consider it to be a no risk event. So we've significantly reduced it, but we still got to manage that clean dirty line to minimize the chances of spreading PD back in the arm.
In addition to managing internal employees and their biosecurity, both companies have also utilized independent third-party contractors, which can make biosecurity tricky, but a necessary focal point.
Well, we do require them to shower into the facilities and wear clothing and boots that are specific to the facilities. Again, we can do our best to audit to that, and we're not 100% compliance, but the more we put eyes on it and train those people and know that we're looking at it, I think we continue to improve. And we also have crew supervisors, and that's their job to do that, but also to support them to make sure they have the things they need at the sites where they go. So, we don't want them to be in the habit of getting to a site and they don't have the sort boards that they need or the equipment that they need to load the truck, and so they feel like they need to bring it from one site to another. So the best we can do to make sure they have everything they need, the more likely they will be to follow biosecurity.
On the sort crew fleet piece, we would have that same requirement, or the contract grower that, we utilize sort boards or any of those equipment items, that are organic to that barn. So really try to prevent them bringing on anything and make sure that if there is a crew that's coming in, that they follow the biosecurity shower and those things. So the trucker itself really just comes down to, adherence to the clean boots, clean coveralls that they bring with them. They're going to stay on the back of the truck. So you're pointing on clean dirty line. They're not coming in the barn. They're not supposed to come in the barn. And again, probably not 100% compliance, but the expectations there, for the most part, it's pretty well executed.
We are so fortunate to have these three industry leaders in this area highlighting how valuable washing market trucks can be to swine health and the overall community. Once again, we want to thank Dr. Edison Magalhaes, Dr. Pete Thomas, and Dr. Tyler Bauman for their time and insight on today's episode. Thank you for tuning in to this month's episode. Be sure to come back next month for another timely episode on all things swine. Until then, I'm Delaney Howell, and this has been the PigX Podcast.
PigX is a national podcast hosted by the Pig Livability Project partners at Iowa State University, Kansas State University, and Purdue, and supported by the Iowa Pork Industry Center. For more information on the project, head to www.piglivability.org, or to inquire directly with questions regarding the project, email ipic.iastate.edu. PigX, ideas in the swine industry worth sharing.